Okay, class, good evening. Now, this class, we're going to go a little bit different route, class, because we're going to deal with another situation, but it's going to be on the other end of God's delegated authority. Now, you might have to find this in your book. I kind of skip over a few chapters because there's something I thought needed to be covered. You notice we don't have time to cover every chapter, every sentence in the book. So I tried to seek and find out what God needs to be brought out more, you know, in these books and these lessons than others. So if you turn your book to page, I think it's page 150, but it's chapter 16, if not the right page, the misuse of God's authority and governmental discipline. We're going to see how God disciplined his leaders, his governmental authority, because just as we, as those that are submitted to our authority, our authority also are submitted to God on another level. We call it governmental authority. So governmental authority calls for governmental discipline. But notice, it begins with God and the leader, not God, the leader, and the people. God always deals with his leaders on a separate basis. God not going to allow you to correct his leaders because he's the one that called them, so therefore he's going to do the correcting. And so it's on another level, the personal level, that God deals with his authority, his governmental authority. Now, here's the subject we're dealing with. To be a delegated authority is a serious matter. Now, sometimes people, you know, want to position of authority. They want to be in leadership position. And you got to make sure God call you there. Because if God call you there, you're going to be able to handle the seriousness of the matter. And so, if you're called, it's one thing, but if you step in the office that you're not sure you're called in, it could become a dangerous thing. Because whether you're called or not called and you're in that office, you're going to be judged by that office. And that's where the danger come in. You see it? You're going to be judged by that office even if you're not called to that office. You put yourself there, so you're going to be judged by that office. So I'm going to read the statement again. To be a delegated authority is a serious matter. Now, we want to go to Numbers 20. Go to number 20. We're going to read the story. I don't know how much I'm going to read, Claire, but I got to read enough for you to see what happened with Moses here. So begin with Numbers 20 and 1. Numbers 20 and 1, the children of Israel and Moses, they still was wandering in the wilderness. And so we're going to see what happened here in this first verse. I'm giving you time to find it. Numbers 20, verse 1. That's enough time. All right. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, in the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. You remember the story about Miriam? But Miriam died right here in this place of Kadesh. Now, and that second verse. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Now notice, I mentioned earlier sometime back, whenever you see the word against, that's rebellion. They're against Moses, against Aaron. Okay, I just want to bring that point out to you so you know what's fixing to happen here. And the people showed with Moses, or they argued with Moses, and spake saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? Now, some scholars say that this was about 30 years into the wilderness. So when I'm saying that, they experienced a lot of things, Clad. A lot of things. They saw God do a lot. They saw ground open up. They saw one time before God made water come out of a rock. And they saw all kind of, they saw the quails fall, the manna. They saw God's protection. They saw God's love. This God fed them on a daily basis. Nobody was getting sick. I'm telling you, God's hand was upon them. But yet, 30 years even down the road, you're dealing with people, Glad. It don't matter how long they've been with you. It don't care how long they've been with you. They still can turn on you. Some people been with more than for 30 years. In your church, you might have been with your pastor for 30 years. And you think you know him. You see it? But you still can rebel after 30 years. My goodness. I hope I ain't talking to nobody, Claire. Now, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? They're talking about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And why have ye brought us up the congregation of the Lord unto this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? You see the people? And put yourself on the other end of this. When I say the other end of this, put yourself in Moses' position now. Moses has been talking with these people for years now. And these people still being contrary. They still don't understand. They still don't see the promise of God. We almost get into another generation of people that coming along. Some people that don't even know about Pharaoh yet. Don't even know about the suffering. See, children are still being born. We're talking about another generation coming up. And we're talking about a Joshua generation fixing to come up here to him. And these people still murmuring, still finding fault with Moses, still having problem, you know, dealing with the disciplinary action. Still with the same complaint. Still with the same argument. And still with the same Moses. Now why? And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherewith have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? You see, 30 years gone by. Now they're calling the wilderness evil and Egypt a good place. How confused were all these people? Is there no place of seed or of figs or of pomegranate? Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Now, you see the situation. You see why I'm reading so much. The glory is appeared unto Moses and to Aaron, and God is about to speak to tell Moses what to do with these people, even though they're contrary. Even though Moses is vexed, even though Moses is angry, and even though Moses is just almost fed up, you know, fed up, like they said, to the neck up. Moses is that spot now where he almost didn't just had enough. I'm telling you, you know, you get a place where you ever been to a place where you just didn't had enough? Enough is enough. I think Moses was there at this point, you know. But, God never changed his disposition. God never changed his attitude. God never changed his love. God never changed his patience. God never changed his grace. God never changed his mercy. God never changed anything. But Moses is getting fed up. I don't know if I can take this anymore with these people. I'm getting a little tired of being frustrated with these people. But God never changed. He's the same God that dealt with these people from the day they left Egypt to this day right here in Kadesh, when they're standing before the wilderness again. Same wilderness, just a different place in the wilderness. Same people, they're just getting a little older. You see it? And now, Moses is facing him and Aaron with God. They've been here once, not twice. Been here a few times with God, falling before their face again. And I get to get tired falling on their face before God for the same thing. They're getting frustrated. And I'm trying to give us a picture of what these people were dealing with, Glenn, what Moses was dealing with, and what leadership sometimes deal with in real time. You know, I'm talking about real time. I'm taking it from the wilderness. I'm bringing it to 2025. I'm with real leaders. Been pastoring people for a long time. And sometimes they wonder if they're going to ever change, if it's going to get better or it's going to get worse. But God never changes his mind toward his people. God is so long-suffering. And that's some of the qualification of leaders. Have to be long-suffering, patient, kind even when you don't want to be kind, forgiving even when you don't want to be forgiven, loving even when you don't want to be loving. You got to be all these things that God is to be able to deal with people. But because of the human side, Glenn, of people, we can't love all the way like God, because it's just human nature. You know, you get human nature runs out of spiritual things sometimes. You know, they'll run out of love, they'll run out your love walk, they'll run out of patience, they'll run out of joy, they'll run out of forgiveness. You know how I know they run out of forgiveness? Jesus, one disciple said, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times?" No, Jesus said, "No, 70 times seven." My secret, God don't run out. That was Jesus saying, "I don't run out." You see, but people run out. They don't know how many times I got to forgive them when they make a mistake. 70 times seven, Jesus said. Now, he didn't mean 70 times seven. He meant how many times you need to. Even though he's saying you can't count it. You can't count it. You see it? And so I'm trying to get you to understand man's side and God's side. What man see, what God see, what Moses saw, and what God saw. Now watch. Everybody see this. God's love never runs out. You see it? His love never runs out. Even all these years passed, God got the same love. All these years passed, God got the same patience. God got the same grace. God never changes. I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. But we see all these years, Moses began to get a little tired. So, we're going to see God's side and Moses' side. We're going to see how God handled things, and we're going to see how Moses handled things. Now, we're talking about delegated authority. Moses, God delegated authority. Moses handling business like God. Supposed to be representing God to the people. Notice I say that. Moses is supposed to be representing God to the people. When you see Moses, you should see how God responds. Now, I'm preluding something, class, so when we get there, you'll be able to see it. Moses should see things like God see things. Moses supposed to understand things like God understand things. Spiritual understanding I'm talking about. You see it? Now, let's go on, and we're gonna see this thing. We're gonna see this thing begin to formulate, and we're gonna begin to come to a head, and we're gonna see what happened to Moses here. Moses fell on his face. The last thing I read, right? Him and Moses fell upon their face, and the Lord appeared, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron and thy brother, and speak ye to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Now, that's God's plan. That's God answer to the question of the people rolling up. God didn't say nothing but their anger. God didn't say anything about their rebellion. God didn't say anything about their complaint. God just began to tell Moses what to do. Take the rod. Now, the other end, or the other side, is Moses' side. The other side is Moses' feeling toward the people. We see how God feels toward the people. Now let's see how Moses feels toward the people. There shouldn't be two different attitudes toward the people. Moses and Aaron's attitude should be the same attitude God had toward the people. God said, give them water. They were drinking. And so these people are thirsty. They've been in this wilderness. They've been going through this stuff. They've been going through a lot. You know, just give them some water, Moses. Take a rock and speak to it, and then water going to come forth. Them and their beasts going to drink. And they're going to be satisfied. They're going to be all right, Moses. They're making a little noise. But God didn't say that in the scripture, but God's heart toward the people. God have mercy where we don't have mercy. Now, I'm saying all these things, class, because I want you to get a gist. I want you to get an understanding of what about to transpire here and why God felt the way he felt about his delegated authority. Now, let me read on a little bit more. Let's see. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and as he commanded him, he did that part right, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. God didn't say nothing but no rebels. God didn't even say anything about them being rebels. Moses saw the rebels. God didn't see no rebels. You know what God saw? God saw thirsty people hurting. God saw children thirsty. God saw beasts, you know, they're thirsty, and he don't want them to die. That's what God saw. God understood the makeup of man. God know when rebellion comes out the heart or comes out the head. God know when you say things out the heart and you say things because you're just hungry and thirsty. You ever say anything because you were hungry and thirsty and tired? It didn't come out your heart. It came out your head. Came out your feeling. Came out your emotion. God didn't see a rebellion here. Moses saw the rebellion. God's grace was present. You see it? God wanted to bless the people. God wanted to see them. No, I'm a caring God. I'm not going to let you thirst. I'm not going to let your animal die. That's what God saw. Now Moses comes here calling the people rebels. Ye rebels. You see, that's the man side of Moses. You see it? That the human side of what he saw. So when it comes to delegated authority, you can't function out of your human side. You can't say what you see all the time. You got to find out what God see and say what God say. Say what God see and say what God say. And that's why spiritual leaders always have to stay before the Lord. That's why apostles spend so much time before the Lord. You know. Sometimes, apostle come out and you know, sometimes, you know, congregation always do and say all things right. And I think he's going to, you know, kind of correct them. Apostle come out and you just love on the people. He just love upon them. I said, my goodness. You know what he saw? He saw what God saw. So he said what God said. He just love on them. He act like nothing happened. Nothing was said wrong. Just love on them. You see it? Sometimes, you know, you want them all to come to the meeting, and sometimes they won't show up. You think that the next time they come to service, God, he will get all over them. He'll fuss at them, like you and your head want to do. Boy, pastor, apostle, get on these people. They don't show up all the time to these meetings. You know, you think you come out here with that spirit. You know, you just love on them. Don't say anything. Just love them people like nothing happened. That's the God side. That's because you spend time with God and see what God see. and not see what he see and understand what he ain't understand. He see the people out of God's heart. Moses at this particular time didn't. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, all of these things were written for our admonition, for our understanding, that we don't do likewise, it says. Paul said, these things so we don't do likewise. So Moses made a mistake, so we don't make a mistake. Moses' error, so we don't, we see Moses' error, so we don't error as delegated authority. We got to understand these things. See things like God see. But now Moses calling these people rebels when God said, I don't see them as rebels, Moses. Now watch what his reaction going to be. Watch what Moses going to react to these people here. I get you, need to get you to see this, Glenn. Why? Oh, Jesus, help us. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear ye now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of the rock? That was Moses' reaction, Moses' emotion, Moses' frustration, Moses. That's all we saw. Moses, the man Moses. Shall we fetch for you water out of this rock? My goodness. It don't sound like much that Moses said wrong. But we're going to see here Moses misrepresenting God. That wasn't God's representation right here. That wasn't God's feeling. That wasn't God's remarks. He didn't say what God felt. He didn't show the people the love that God wanted to show the people. He didn't respond like God wanted to respond. He responded out of his human side, out of his human frustration. They ought to know better by now. All you're going to ever learn, they're children. Sometimes children never learn. That's why they have a loving father and a forgiving father to help us to see what they can't see, to understand what they don't understand. Now, let me go on. But we fetch you water out of this rock, and Moses lifts up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. Not once, smote the rock twice in a frustration manner. That didn't represent God, Clad. God didn't tell him to strike the rock. Moses misrepresented God with the rod. The rod is a symbol of authority. That rod represented God. And when he struck the rock with the rod, you know, they saw God's anger and God's frustration. Because they saw that same rod open up the Red Sea. You see it? And now they see the rod smoting a rock with anger. Now watch. I'm trying to get you to see what God's saying here. Now, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beasts also. Now, you see the grace of God here, Clan. You see the grace of God here, because even in Moses' anger for the love of God for the people, God, even in Moses' disobedience, God wasn't going to let his love stop because of Moses' obedience, disobedience. God's love go beyond an act of disobedience. God's love brought water forth out of the rock abundantly. And the people drink. And the beasts and cattle drank the water because they were thirsty. God saying to himself, I just want to give water to my people. I just want them to see the love that I have for them in spite of what they're going through, in spite of how they react sometimes. I just want to show them love. I just want to show them I'm not a man, that I love beyond what you show me, that I'm unconditional love. In spite of what you say, in spite of what you do, I still love. That's what God wants me to see, unconditional love, Glad. But Moses had them see anger. Now, why? Watch how God going to correct this. And now you're going to see why God dealt with Moses the way he dealt with him. If you just read the scripture without understanding the scripture, you don't quite understand clearly why God would not let the people, let Moses go into the promised land. Now let's go on. Let's go on. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. Listen, because you believe me not. My goodness. To sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Sanctify me. Let them see my glory. In other words, they took God's glory. Moses took God's glory from him. And God don't want no man to take his glory. And he misrepresented God. They didn't see God. They saw Moses. And God didn't like that. God didn't like that. He didn't sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the waters of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. You see it? He was sanctified in them. God wanted to be sanctified before his people. Now, Claire, let's go to our notes. I hope you saw some things, but we're going to bring some points out in a note. If a person should speak carelessly and do something in a way which does not sanctify God, then from the moment God has to step in to justify himself, there is no way to ask for forgiveness. You see, in other words, God had to step in, show his glory in spite of what Moses did to misrepresent him. God had to go beyond Moses' action and still do what he needs to do to sanctify himself in spite of Moses' reaction to the people. God was not going to let Moses stop him from blessing the people. God always going to be God. And God always going to be represented right. If not, God always brings correction when he's not represented properly. And that's why being delegated authority is a serious matter. Because God wants to be sanctified before his people. God wants to be glorified before his people at all costs. God don't want your emotions to step in front of him of his feelings and his love toward the people. You see it? And we're going to see some other instances when it looked like in our eyes, God should have corrected Moses, but he didn't. But it was another instance. Sometimes Moses responded correctly toward God in motion. Just like when Moses was coming down the mountain and the people, when God gave him the tablet, I'm just going over this. I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to talk about it. And the people was doing all kind of stuff. You know, they were making a god out of calf. Aaron made a god out of calf. Aaron said, you know, the people wanted to do this and told them to make them a god. And they were just having, they just was abusing themselves before God. And Moses responded. He took the tablet. You would think God would have corrected Moses for breaking the Ten Commandments, throwing the tablet down and break them into pieces. You think God would have corrected Moses then, but Moses responded toward God's heart. He only responded the way God felt at that time. And they saw how God was angry with them. So they saw Moses as God, or saw God in Moses. Moses reflected God's attitude at that particular time, and it was correct. God was angry. But now at the water of Meribah, Moses misrepresented God. God wanted to show love, and Moses showed anger. So they saw that God was angry with us through Moses, and God was not. God was merciful and graceful and loving and kind before the people. Now, it matters when you misrepresent God. That's why you got to stay close to God as leaders and find out what he feels toward the matter. Find out what he see and say what he say. Then from the moment God has to step in and justify himself, there's no way left to act for repentance or for forgiveness. We must fear and tremble when we are managing the affairs of God. You see that? Now, Pastor said something yesterday. Now, I don't know if everybody caught it, but I catch things like that. And he's talking about, when I came to you, he's talking about the apostolic message. I came to you in fear and trembling. He said, I'm in fear and trembling right now. He said, you might not see it, but I always come up here in fear and trembling. That's the attitude. Because you spend so much time with God. That's the fear and trembling that he's talking about. Because I will make sure I will say what he say, do what he do, respond the way he respond. You see it? Now, I understand that. I'm going to read that again. We must fear and tremble when we are managing the affairs of God. Let us beware lest we grow callous and reckless as we become older. Now, I saw that statement was astounding. You see, sometimes people become old. When I say older, they're talking about in the business of leading. And sometimes they take things upon themselves and they start operating out of their own mind and their own ways of doing things and their own feeling and their own emotion because they've been there so long sometimes that they don't respond properly. And they start taking up upon themselves. I think Moses saw some of that in himself. You know, you can just take things and become like a manager of human affairs and not spiritual affairs. But when you always take time before God, the longer you're there, the more time you got to spend. Apostles spend hours and hours and hours before God. He said, you don't know how much time I spend with God for this meeting. Why? I want to make sure I say what he say, do what he do, and see what he see. Understand what he understand. My preaching would not be, but being the power of the Spirit. It's so much to this class. So much to being in leadership position. And you see why there's so much error in the body of Christ. You see why some leaders falling. You see, when you thought they were way up here and you thought they weren't able to fall because some of these things we've seen here. You see it? You get too comfortable with God. They don't spend time with God like they should before the people. They become performers, and they forget that to spend time seeking God's face for leading God's people. And they get to a point where sometimes they think it's their people and don't recognize it's God's people. You see it? And that's the danger, and that's the seriousness of this matter. You see it? And that's why I love my apostle so much, because he's such an example for me and for the body of Christ. Now, in earlier days when Moses' anger burned hot and he smashed into pieces the tablets, the tables on which God had written the law, God did not blame him. He had touched God's heart of jealousy, and so his anger was justified. The people of Israel were rebelled many times, but Moses was patient with them. Moses and Aaron, though, committed one mistake, and yet they were barred from Canaan. It shows how serious it is to be delegated authority. God is most strict with those who represent him. And in Numbers 18, the Lord said to Aaron, thou and thy son and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. The more authority which is delegated, the severer God's dealing. My goodness. The more authority delegated, the more serious or severer is God's dealing. The Lord also said, to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him will they ask the more. That's Luke 12 and 48. Now, listen at this now. Now, Aaron, I'm going to close with this. Aaron, time had come to die. And Moses went up with the children of Israel, not the children of Israel, some of the leaders. And let me just read. I'm going to read it fast because I ain't got about 2 minutes left, Claire. It is truly a beautiful picture to see Moses and Aaron and Eleazar, his son, ascend together to Mount Hor. All of them were obedient to God in humbly accepting God's judgment. God was judging this thing. Moses and Aaron was not going to go. And so Aaron turned to go first. Now Moses knew that he's going to have to be going the same way with Aaron. They did not even pray, for they knew God. Aaron knew his day had arrived, and Moses was also conscious of his own future. God ordered Moses to perform the transaction, since at the waters of Meribah, Moses had also been the chief character. By viewing how Aaron went, it was made known to Moses how he would also go. As Aaron was stripped of his holy garment, he died. Now watch the importance of this now. Ordinarily, people do not die by their clothes being stripped off. But Aaron did, because his life was maintained by his service. Oh, I thought it was a powerful statement. Your life is maintained by your service to God. The more valuable you are to God, the more God will take care of you, because you become valuable to God. And so your life is maintained by your service. So, Claire, this is the first I can go here, but I thought it was good for you to see this. I thought this was one of the good lessons, not only for those that under authority, but also for delegated authority. You've been in a good class. You're listening so good. And I see you next time. God bless.